President Trump's 2019 State of the Union address is back on the calendar. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi invited the president to deliver his remarks next Tuesday. But the speech was originally intended for tonight, before Pelosi withdrew the opportunity over disagreement around the government shutdown. It's the first time since 1986 that the State of the Union has been delayed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd planned to speak to you tonight to report on the State of the Union. But the events of earlier today have led me to change those plans.
That postponement was for very different reasons.
Today is a day for mourning and remembering. Nancy and I are pained to the core by the tragedy of the Shuttle Challenger.
The president has a constitutional mandate to give the State of the Union address. Since FDR, a nationally broadcast State of the Union has been delivered at the beginning of the new year.
I have called for personal sacrifice, and I am assured of the willingness of almost all Americans to respond to that call.
So we want to know how important the State of the Union really is, and we asked our favorite pundits, you.
Hi, my name is Karen Dewey, and I'm from Newport, New Hampshire. And no, I do not think the State of the Union is necessary. It's become a political event.
Hi, this is Dave in Newark, Delaware. And for the first time in my adult, semi-politically aware life, I really don't give a hoot.
JP, La Jolla, California, the State of the Union is now promulgated via tweets.
Hi, my name's Amanda. I'm calling from Killingly, Connecticut. I think the State of the Union is really just a political soapbox that doesn't actually tell what the State of the Union is.
This is Jason Bennett from La Jolla, California, and I care about the State of the Union, but I still can't help but feel it's like watching a slow-motion car crash.
All right, so those are your thoughts on the State of the Union, and we have Julian Zelizer, professor at Princeton University and co-author of Fault Lines, A History of the United States Since 1974. Julian, is the State of the Union even important anymore?
Absolutely. Even though it's now watched through a partisan prism, and even though many people will tune it out, I think any moment you can hear what the president has planned for the year and what the president is requesting from Congress, it's still something we don't want to get rid of, especially in an era when so many people are turned off from politics.
What is the point, if you will, of the State of the Union?
Well, the point is still to outline an agenda for the year. It's basically to show what kinds of requests the president is going to be making of Congress, and also to prioritize what are the major problems that an administration is going to be focused on. Obviously, the State of the Union we're about to see and hear will also be filled with partisan attacks and all kinds of disinformation. But in general, I still think there is value to having that message delivered. And a lot of people still watch it. Even though it's not as many people as it used to be, we're talking tens of millions of people will be watching it and then reading and watching the news about it.
We do know that President Trump's last State of the Union got more than 40 million viewers there. So to your point, now we know that it was Thomas Jefferson who did away with the in-person addresses, opting to just write his State of the Union. When did we get back to live speech, not just televised, but giving that? And why did we do that?
Woodrow Wilson decides to bring it back in 1913, and he starts the tradition which lasts until this day, in which the president will deliver this to Congress. First goes on the radio in 1923, and it starts to be televised under President Harry Truman in 1947, and it becomes a primetime event under Lyndon Johnson in 1965. So the tradition of doing it in person has now been around for over a century. And as a televised event, it's really been going on since the advent of television.
Besides the politics and the border wall and everything else, the fight between Trump and Pelosi specifically over this State of the Union delivery, I mean, couldn't the president have given the State of the Union anywhere, from anywhere? Did it have to be where tradition is mandated so far?
Well, he still doesn't even have to give it. I mean, he could have broken with tradition or gone back to the pre-Wilson tradition and sent it in writing. but he doesn't want to do that. He could have given it as some kind of rally or some kind of Twitter feed State of the Union address. But I think he wants the presidential ceremony. He wants the pomp and circumstance of looking like a president. So there was part of him, even though he despises everything about Washington, who still wants to look presidential at this moment in front of the nation. So that's why I think he was determined to get this invitation back.
And he also, as you mentioned, wanted the spectacle of it all. I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about how the technology has changed the State of the Union. You mentioned radio, then we shifted to television. In 1947 was the first time they televised the address, and we actually have a clip from that broadcast.
Mr. Truman confronts a Congress heavily weighted by the opposition. He delivers his message on the State of the Union.
In the effort to bring about a sound and equitable price structure, each group of our population has its own responsibility.
How did that change the nature of the State of the Union speech, Julian?
Well, the visuals become as important as what is actually said. The manner in which the president delivers the speech, the kind of gravitas that they display is important. The reaction of the members of Congress who are watching also becomes really important. During the 1980s, the parties start to coordinate when to applaud. Republicans are given a transcript of Reagan's speech, I think it was in 1982, where there's literally lines in terms of applaud here and show your support for the president. So all of that becomes more choreographed. Reagan in the 80s starts to invite guests and people who are notable, average citizens who are notable for doing something, and that usually plays into the ceremony. So it's really become a form of televised presidential spectacle, and the words themselves are only part of what people are looking for that evening.
And you mentioned the guests, and I think those guests can often be politicized itself. I feel like a lot of Americans, just from what we heard from our callers, are just really tired of it, of the politicization of this speech. The State of the Union so far is back on for next week. What does this mean politically for the president?
I don't think it's going to mean much for the president. I expect he's going to give exactly what most people are predicting, a hard-headed partisan attack on the Democrats. He will use this as a campaign platform, and it certainly won't bolster what people think of the State of the Union. But for him, this is something of a victory, because I think there was a sense of humiliation when Speaker Pelosi wouldn't allow him to do this in the middle of the government shutdown. It won't move the needle. It won't really persuade anyone who is not supportive of him to support him. So I doubt there'll be any huge effect from what he says.
Do you think all of the back and forth, all this bluster, will actually make people watch it more? Or are we expecting this to be, we're definitely not expecting Super Bowl numbers around this, right?
I think people have seen a lot of President Trump. And in some ways, I think his constant appearances everywhere from television to social media will probably undercut how interested people are in turning on to see him speak during the State of the Union.
Julian Zelizer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.